It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
To Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Willard and Dibbs continues here on 95.7 The Game. No Mark Willard this week, though. It's Jason Dumas and Mark Grandy in for Mark Willard. Dan Dibley here as always.
Turns
on
out
Willard
it's Dumas versus Dibley
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah? What just happened? I missed it.
He just called me injury prone.
Uh-oh.
Well.
Uh-oh. Maybe Doc will be the judge of that.
I hope so.
Torn labrum and ruptured Achilles.
I had the same torn labrum. Yeah, it's no picnic.
All right.
Anyway.
We got to get to Doc, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And, of course, our guest right now is the great Doc Pandya. It's time for Cleared to Play, where we take you inside the tent and get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya. Doc, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you all doing?
You know, we're still trying to recover from losing Klay Thompson. And I guess, first of all, as a Warrior fan, Doc, how does it feel knowing Klay Thompson's time as a Warrior is up?
I mean, it's definitely hard, you know, after seeing him, you know, be here for 13 years and everything he contributed, you know, pre-injury, kind of seeing him through his rehab process and then obviously the last couple of years. And I think the biggest thing for me is I think people don't necessarily appreciate just what he went through in terms of those 941 days away. And when I look back at what's amazing about Klay, there are the three-pointers, there's game six Klay, there's all that other stuff. But for a professional athlete to miss 941 days with those two major injuries and come back and perform at the level that he did, I just think people need to appreciate that, you know, beyond everything else that's gone on. It's just pretty remarkable. And we just haven't seen someone like that in any professional sport do what he did.
Is it even more remarkable the fact that they stacked kind of back-to-back where the ACL happened and he made it almost basically all the way back and then the Achilles, and so he had to start from scratch again?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's the really hard part about that is just getting your confidence back. You know, you go through this whole process of rehab and you're like, am I going to get hurt again? Am I going to hurt again? Am I going to get confidence? And then you get back and then you get hurt again. And then suddenly it's like, am I ever going to get that ability to play back on the court? And I think the mental part of, you know, playing even as a weekend warrior after those injuries, but to come back and say, can I trust my body? And everyone's, you know, looking at my performance and wondering if I'm going to be the same person. I just think the back-to-back nature of it and the fact that you lose so much of that time in your 30s where you should be kind of peaking just speaks volumes about what he accomplished.
Doc, you know, this is rumor mill central this time of year, early July in the NBA world. And one name that keeps popping up for the Warriors is Zach LaVine. The Bulls are trying to shop him. Obviously, he has had some foot injuries over the past couple of years that have scared a lot of teams away. Is that a legitimate concern with a guy like him who is known as an above-the-rim athlete?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that the two kind of injuries that will give you pause for NBA players are back issues and foot issues. And, you know, he had this 4 to 6 month recovery timeline for this foot injury that he had. And one of the things you get worried about, it was kind of like, let's see if you can play. Let's see if you can play. Okay, now we're going to get surgery. And now he's recovering from that. And also with the Bulls, he was having issues with that knee that he had ACL surgery on several years as well, too. So having knee soreness, getting a foot fracture for an explosive athlete, it definitely gives you a little bit of worry, especially if you're depending on him to be your number two scorer, if you're losing someone like Kuminga in any kind of sign and trade. So I think that's a concern. Is he going to be healthy, and can he be what makes him so good, which is an explosive player?
Doc Pandy of UCSF Health with us here on Cleared to Play on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. One of the newest Warriors, Doc, not slow-mo, Kyle Anderson, if you haven't heard, just signed like a half hour ago, or it was announced that the Warriors had agreed to a three-year, $27 million deal. We can ask you about him in a sec, but the other newest Warrior, D'Anthony Melton, has been relatively healthy for most of his career, except for last year when he only played 38 games with the 76ers, dealing with a back issue. I imagine a back issue for an NBA player also is one you're a little bit concerned about for D'Anthony Melton.
Yeah, absolutely. Particularly when you lose a significant amount of time with only playing, you know, a little bit less than half the season. And I think the report of his back issue was a lumbar spine stress response, which is a fancy way of saying you've got inflammation in the bones in your back. And if that continues going, it can lead to a stress fracture and then lead to more problems with nerves and muscles around the back. And typically this develops due to overuse or some sort of mechanical issue. So, you know, with Rick Celebrini, you know, being part of the Warriors, I think if there is a mechanical issue or some way he's moving, he's in the right hands to get healthy. But you just worry. You hear about NBA players, and you know, Jason's familiar with, you know, when Ben Simmons in Philly and you know, Michael Porter Jr. And Draymond, all these field players who get back issues, something you want to watch very closely. Luckily, no surgery yet, but something that you want to look out for as he's entering into training camp and playing with the Warriors.
When you look at Steph and Draymond going forward into this year, how concerned are you about their advanced age and what their, you know, risk of injury might be this season?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that as you get older, your rate of injury risk increases, particularly as you get into your late 30s. And Curry's played about 32,000 minutes in his career, Draymond 23,000. So that's a lot of wear and tear. Of the two people, I get worried more about Curry. And I think part of it is just the way that he moves on the court. And he's continuously one of the leaders in the league in terms of how much distance he's covering during the season. And if he doesn't have a number two scoring option next to him, is he going to have to move around more? Is he going to have to work more to get a shot? So not only is having a second option good for the team, but also potentially is good for Stephen Curry's health. And I do worry, like, is he going to be working a lot without that option next to him? Is that going to lead to the ankle issues, the hamstring issues, et cetera? So absolutely a concern as he's getting older. Part of that's who's playing next to him as well, too.
Doc, you lauded Clay for being able to get through those two injuries and being able to come back and play at the level he's played at with missing, 900 and something days. Long term, those two injuries and the trauma on that lower leg, as Clay continues to play, I mean, he was a warrior, figuratively speaking, last year. He played the most games, I think, on the team. Is he in the clear, do you think, now? Do you think he's able to say he's past those injuries? Or is that something that you're always going to have to keep an eye on when you pop an Achilles and when you tear an ACL? I guess that's to a lower degree, the ACL part.
Yeah, you know, if you look at most of the data and most of the studies that looked at players who have these injuries individually, pretty much if you get to year three, and he'll be year three from his Achilles this fall, you're pretty much at that point where any kind of subsequent performance decline or injury risk has pretty much been minimized. Now, obviously, his age is probably the biggest factor, but from anything related to that ACL or Achilles, he's kind of past that at that point now. So any decline is going to be more age-related, and he's pretty much past that in terms of the ACL and the Achilles, which is good for a player like him and potentially maybe the reason why the Mavericks said, hey, we're going to give you 3 years, because we know that this isn't, you're kind of past that point of worrying about those two injuries.
Last one for you, Doc. There's been some weird reporting about the Warriors holding Andrew Wiggins out of the Olympics, and whether it's a decision that they both have to come to and agree on, or whether the Warriors are forcing his hand. Is this just as simple as the Warriors being careful with one of their guys? And I know there's been rumors about trading him. Does it go back to the rib injury he sustained in the playoffs a while ago? What's your level of concern, Andrew Wiggins, health-wise at this stage?
It's pretty minimal. I think that one of the things, you know, you always see this with, you know, kind of in the sports medicine setting. It's like, look, your active injuries are fine, but if you take more time to rehab and rest, it's probably going to be better for you and improve your performance down the long term. So it's short-term versus long-term. And I think just with some of the off seasons that Wiggins has had, particularly, you know, with the chest injury and there was this ankle injury he's dealing with, putting all the trade rumors aside, is probably the best for him to get a season where he's conditioning and working on it. And we know that a lot of players, when they play in the Olympics, that really cuts into their normal cycle of rest and rehab that they get heading into a season. So I think from a long-term standpoint, probably best for Wiggins, particularly how he's kind of entered in these seasons the past couple of years. So I think it's more kind of long-term benefit versus something the Warriors are doing in terms of a trade piece.
Good stuff, Doc. Hey, Kyle Anderson, jersey in the cart or what?
We'll wait and see. Hopefully he's a piece for a bigger trade. I'm with Dibley on this.
Nice,
one.
Yeah, Doc. No, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks as always, Doc. We appreciate your time.
Appreciate you.
All right. Take care, guys. Yep.
All right, that's Doc Bandia. Cleared to play. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. A little worried maybe about D'Anthony Melton's back injury, but Andrew Wiggins, you never know, but we'll see where it all goes from there. Good stuff as always.
Yeah, like from you said, Doc those Bandia. Backs are tricky.
Especially for a basketball player. I mean, you're using your back all the time, and of course these athletes are jumping crazy. And in slow-mo, Kyle Anderson, there's a reason why he's so healthy. He doesn't move quick enough or jump high enough to get hurt.
Well, Melton, obviously, I'm invested in the Sixers. I watched him play up until the injuries last year. He was playing really good basketball for them. He's a good player. He just has to get healthy, and hopefully that back issue isn't chronic, and he'll be able to play. As it pertains to Kyle Anderson, like I said, I've been watching him play since UCLA. I knew of him when he was a high school recruit in the New York City, Jersey area, very close to Philly, a location I always keep an eye on in the grassroots scene. Good player, great pedigree. I just wonder the fit offensively with the Warriors. Yes, I get it. He's a role player. He's going to be coming off the bench. But even bench players, you always want to stagger them with guys like Draymond and some of those other starters. And I just think they duplicate each other a little too much. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Worst case scenario, he's a high IQ player who doesn't really make many mistakes on the court, and you can always use those guys.
Yeah, so he's basically Kevon Looney plus, is what you're saying.
I think he's better than Kevon Looney. Well, they're different type of players,
right? Because Kevon Looney is a high IQ player who doesn't make mistakes, and you can count on him to do exactly what you need him to do, which is 16 to 22 minutes of good, solid screen setting,
rebounding,
between 5 and 22 rebounds, usually closer to 6 or 7. Pretty good defender, not a shot blocker, but he's a guy who, when he's on the court, he won't hurt you. And that's kind of what you're describing Kyle Anderson. And I'm not going to use his nickname because every time Grandy says it,
slow-mo,
it makes me even cringe a little bit more, because the Warriors are in need of impact. And you know, D'Anthony Melton is a guy who can come in and he could be impactful. He could be, you know, a good solid 12 to 13 points a game if he's healthy. He's a guy who can come in and score and shoot it and be productive. But I just don't know if Kyle Anderson fits with what this team's trying to do.
And I think you guys are both right to be questioning what the offense looks like for the Warriors, which to me just signals that, you know, if this team really does want to compete and be a player this season, then you're going to have to make another move, and a big move. And I think also what this move does is the Warriors are right up under the luxury tax line now. Again, the luxury tax is about $170.8 million this coming season. The Warriors are like at 169-ish. They have like less than $2 million of space left. And they got a lot of roster spots filled. You don't really have a lot of room to go and do anything else at the moment. So if you are going to do anything else, you would have to think it would be a trade or two players for one player or something like that. And who is, you know, you trade from a position of strength, and suddenly the Warriors have a lot of wings. D'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson, and you already have Wiggins, and you've got Jonathan Kuminga, and you can consider GP2 to be in that wing mold. You got a lot of those guys. So I would feel like if you're going to make a move, one of the guys that might be on the way out the door is one of those wings. And most notably, you know, you got Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga. That would be my guess. Now, we also have this, and I'm going to say this off the top. Take this with a grain of salt, because this is not a name that we all know, and we're not going to treat his word as gospel. But we do have a tweet, an interesting tweet, coming from @TheMonty Show, who hosts a show covering the Utah Jazz and in that area.
Oh, God. I saw this tweet.
And he has said, I'm going to just read it. Okay. Again, take it with a grain of salt. The Warriors and Jazz have made significant progress in talks around Lowry Markkanen. Sources close to the Jazz tell me the Warriors do not have the parts to make a deal, or this is me adding on, maybe they don't want to, and I am told they are looking for a third team to make the deal work. We don't know if that is 100% true and factual and accurate, and Tibbs doesn't want to believe it, but
I know the source. And,
oh, you do?
Yes. But before 95.7 The Game was 95.7 The Game, it was a station called Sports Radio 957. And I left another radio station to join this station before we actually launched the official brand. And during that time, I worked with The Monty Show.
Okay.
Alongside another...
So he's tapped in, huh?
I worked with The Monty Show. And so I will take this report, and if I could crumple up and throw into the garbage the report, I would, because I know the source, and I'm not a fan of the source, and I think that he is basically reaching back and seeing what he can grab and throwing it up against the wall.
Wow. All right, there you have it.
Did
don't
I
trust
words?
That guy.
I mean, no. I don't trust him.
Well, look, I mean, and I take your word for
his
it.
His report is a whole heap of nothing.
Yeah, he's just kind of regurgitating
they've
what's already out there.
Significant progress. Okay. Thanks, The Monty Show.
It is kind of funny. He says they've made significant progress, but then in the next line he says the Warriors do not have the parts to make a deal. So if you don't have the parts to make a deal, how can you possibly make significant progress?
Right, and he's told that they're looking for a third team to make a deal work. Okay. And the news part of that is what?
All I'm going to say is, and we can forget.
I said what I said. All I'm going to say.
You know the guy. It's your prerogative. You can say whatever.
He owes me lunch.
Oh, okay.
Over the
Monty Show.
The Mavericks and the Heat NBA Finals in 2011.
Wow, that's goes
I had
back.
The Mavericks. Yeah.
Wow.
He had the Heat.
Oh, he took the favorite and he lost.
Yeah, still owes me lunch.
Score one for the Dipper.
Which is probably two lunches by now on interest. But go ahead, Grandy. I don't want to bog this down
All I'm going to say is, regardless of the report, and you can believe it, you cannot believe it, Dibs doesn't believe it, that's perfectly fine. The Warriors are up against the luxury tax. They don't really have many roster spots to fill anymore. All that says to me, you can't just go out and add more players. If you're going to change your roster, it's going to be via another trade. That's what the Warriors have been doing. It's going to be a trade, not like the one they just made, where you send money and a second-round pick swap back. You're swapping players at this point. You have a lot of wings. You're probably going to be moving away a wing if you make a move. Wiggins or Kuminga would be my guess. And as you guys have laid out, and you're 100% accurate in this, what is the Warriors, at least on the offensive end, their number one missing skill at the moment? It is shooting, floor spacing. Who is available out there on the trade market that would space the floor for you? There's maybe a couple, but Lowry Markkanen is one of them. So, Dibs, we could forget about this. It could be a fake report. It could be totally wrong. He could be pulling it out of his you-know-what.
Yeah, it's an opinion.
Whatever. It makes sense to me that the Warriors are very interested and are calling up the Utah Jazz. Who knows how far it's going? It makes perfect sense that they are on the phone with Danny Ainge and company. They should be. If they're not, it's a mistake.
And according to this account, and sources tell him
sources.
The Warriors are hesitant to give up four first-round picks, Kuminga and Moody, for Markkanen. You think they're hesitant, Jason, to give up four firsts? Moody and Kuminga for Markkanen. I think that they would be more interested in giving up.
That's more
two
than
firsts.
That's a little more than. Shoot, that's actually a lot more than what they gave up for Mikal Bridges. Brooklyn. Brooklyn did four picks and
a swap, right?
Four picks, a swap, and wasn't what's his name involved? My man, the white European guy.
Bogdanovich.
Yeah,
I love the description.
So you would be giving up four picks, just like the Nets, just like the Knicks did. But then Moody and Kuminga, who are just objectively more valuable than Bogdan. So
and the Warriors are hesitant to do that. Boy, that's breaking! Hit the breaking news sounder. I'm trying not to get bogged down in the reporter, but I do think that if it was two firsts and Kuminga and Moody. I think that, for me, feels a little bit more like what the compensation should be. Maybe Utah wants more than that for Lauri Markkanen.
Okay, say the holdup number one is Jonathan Kuminga. What if you could get it done for Wiggins, Moody, and multiple first... Say it's still four first-round picks, but instead of it being Kuminga, it's Wiggins, Moody, and four first-round picks.
Hell,
do you do that?
Yes, yes.
Four first-round picks, you do that.
I don't care about the picks, personally. I get
them picks.
I get why people would. Don't get me wrong, but my frame of thinking is Steph Curry is Steph Curry, and you only got this version of Steph Curry probably about 3 years left.
That money wouldn't work. Wiggins and Moody for Markkanen would not work. You need to take more salary back from the Jazz to get it done.
For Wiggins and Moody?
Wiggins and Moody make more than Markkanen. Markkanen's only making 18.
Right,
this year.
Right.
Who else is on that jet? So that's why they need a third team, though, to make it work.
Potentially. You're right. That would be 13.
I thought you could take less. If you're under the apron as a Warrior team, you could take less. I thought you just couldn't take on more.
Well, I guess I don't know exactly what Utah's situation is.
Right. And also, I mean, there's the whole thing about, you know, 150% of the deal salary-wise, depending on where you are. I know that because they're now not in that second apron anymore as of the beginning of the league year, that now they can aggregate salaries to make it work in a trade. But, you know, maybe it's just Wiggins and multiple first round picks then to make it work. And, you know, if you could keep Kuminga and
Moody, it's Wiggins and picks, then you're doing it. Six first round picks.
I don't think that Utah is of the mindset of like, okay, we got to get Moses Moody to make this deal work. I think that if Utah is getting rid of Lauri Markkanen, they're thinking about multiple first round picks anyway to make it work.
Yeah.
Because you're rebuilding. I mean, you're already rebuilding, but if you get rid of Markkanen, you're really rebuilding.
Well, let's look back. One of the most famous Danny Ainge trades, and of course it's when he was with the Boston Celtics. He's now with the Utah Jazz, and he is known, he's famous for
fleecing people.
And for trading out aging stars who still have some big name value, and maybe they have a year, 2 years max of being decent in them. First of all, it's a different situation here. Markkanen is only 27 years old. But the most famous one is when the Celtics pulled off a trade with the Brooklyn Nets. And it was when they shipped off Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Jason Terry was also in that trade, believe it or not. It was KG, Paul Pierce, Jason Terry to the Nets for Gerald Wallace, Chris Humphreys, a name I don't recognize and that I can't pronounce, Reggie Evans, Keith Bogans, and unprotected first rounders in 2014, 2016, and 2018. So you got a pile of players. Three first-round picks for aging Hall of Famers Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Three first-round picks and a hall of players.
And now Bobby Marks is working in television. For a reason.
True.
For a reason.
Yes.
It was a horrible trade. Probably the worst in NBA history.
But it's not as if the Nets were, and I guess this is a little bit of a different situation, because it's not as if the Celtics were getting back in return some quality young player like Jonathan Kuminga. It was just picks, right? And like nothing else.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it.
It's not like the Celtics were holding out for the Nets to offer their version of Jonathan Kuminga.
No, the Nets just wanted those, or Danny Ainge just wanted those picks. I mean, look, you have Steph Curry and you gotta risk the risk / reward. Do you want to go all in on trying to get Steph another championship ring, or do you want to try to walk that fine line and do both? They've been trying to do both the last couple of years, and look what has happened. I mean, like, so lucky they got that fourth ring. So lucky, because it kind of kept the vultures out of the way for a couple of years. But then the last 2 years, there were opportunities where you probably could have been more aggressive and helped get yourself closer to a championship ring, and you didn't take it. So you got to commit to one or the other. I don't think you can really be on both sides of the fence like the Warriors have been the last couple of years.
Well, if you are going to be on both sides of the fence, then you don't make any move for Lauri Markkanen and you try again next year and you realize that this year is going to probably be a bit of a lost year and you got one more year for Steph, and then you can decide what you're going to do after that, or you can try to make a big swing. And I do wonder if they can make a big swing without Jonathan Kuminga. And, you know, ideally Yeah, it'd be Wiggins and Moody and multiple first-round picks, and you get Markkanen in, you keep Kuminga, and then you worry about paying Kuminga next year, and you figure out if you need to trade him next year and that $35 million that he's going to be making like you did Jordan Poole. But I think if you try and move off of Kuminga now, even if you bring in Lauri Markkanen, does that make you enough better to where you can get to where you want to be this year? I don't see it.
Yeah. I don't know. Lauri Markkanen's got 1 year left on his deal, $18 million. If it was, say, Wiggins and Moody, Wiggins is making over 26. Moody is making nearly six. So that's $32 million right there. You would need to match because the Jazz are over the salary cap and they can't take in more than they give out. So you'd have to make things work. But that's, as Jason points out, maybe where a third team would come in. But it may ultimately come down to the Warriors' desire or not desire, they don't want to give up on Jonathan Kuminga or a couple of picks.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As well, it could come down to that for the Golden State Warriors. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibbs. It's Jason Dumas and Mark Randy in for Mark Willard. Dan Dibley here is always on 95.7 The Game. There's a lot more to get into. We had the breaking news that the Warriors have signed Kyle Anderson to a 3-year, $27 million deal. More on that. We'll take your calls on it. Also, what do you want out of your superstar Steph Curry? What should he be doing at this stage of his career? That coming up on the other side. We are sponsored by Safeway. More Willard and Dibbs next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Jason Dumas, Mark Randy, and Dan Dibley with you here in for Mark Willard on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Some news from the Warriors today. They have signed Kyle Anderson to a 3-year, $27 million contract. Pair that with D'Anthony Melton, and the Warriors have made a couple of moves so far here in free agency. Out is Klay Thompson and Chris Paul, also Lester Quiñones, and so far in D'Anthony Melton and slow-mo Kyle Anderson, as I continue to get under Dibs' skin, who hates the nickname slow-mo.
It's the worst nickname ever.
He likes it.
Loves it. It's actually his Instagram handle.
So what's the problem?
The problem is you brought in the guy who is a slow-motion basketball player.
But he makes winning plays, Dibs.
He makes good defensive plays. He's a good passer, but he's a guy who is not a scorer. So now this Warrior team is going to be like,
go out and average 50, Steph.
Exactly. Go out and try to win 99-98. It's going to be a different Warrior season this year when you add in non-scorers. Good defense, though. So you're going to all of a sudden become a slow-down half-court team. I'm looking to see it.
But there's a big if. They could be making a move, potentially. You never know. Maybe Wiggins, Kuminga on the way out. Lauri Markkanen of Utah could be a potential possibility for the Golden State Warriors. Dumas, I know. Lauri Markkanen, he would fit perfectly with this Warrior team.
Yeah, he absolutely would. I know. You've been selling me on him because I haven't, like I said, self-admittingly, I haven't watched much of the Utah Jazz in the last year.
It goes back to when he was with in college at Arizona. Yeah, he dominated the Pac-12.
He was good in college. Now, it's funny, I just was talking to one of my friends because I started thinking, like, one of my friends I grew up with in Philly, he was a high-level basketball player, led the Philadelphia Public League in scoring in high school, went to junior college, then started on a Missouri State team that went to the NCAA tournament. Mm. So he was a D1 player on a good team, a starting D1 player on a good team. Then he had a nice, fruitful overseas career. I've known this kid since we were in elementary school. I always see him I would always see him in pictures with Lauri Markkanen. You know, never really question it. Basketball players know each other, but because we were just been talking about Lauri for the last 2 days, I hit him up. His name is Nafis Ricks. Shout out Feast. That's what we call him. I said, yo, like, what do you know about Lauri? I know you guys are friends. He goes, what do I know about him? I'm like, I used to play with him. We played together in Finland. He was my teammate.
Wow.
He was 16 and 17 years old. I used to curse him out because he didn't shoot a lot. He didn't shoot enough. He was like, this guy can shoot the heck out of the rock. I need my assist. And meanwhile, he's a baby playing in a grown men's league and playing really well. Nafis said Lauri was only like 6'5", 6'6", when they were teammates. He's grown to almost 7 foot. But he said he always saw it, said he's a family guy. He's always with his family. It's like everything they do is together. Very family oriented, very genuine person. He said his parents are athletes. His dad played a little bit at Kansas, then went back to Finland. And he just said he's a really, really good dude. So, and he said, yeah, I mean, we saw this coming. We knew NBA All-Star, when a guy's 16, 17, is hard to project that. But he said, I knew the guy would be playing pro for a lot of money somewhere. And then once he got to Arizona and he was putting it all together and he kept growing, you're like, okay, he's going to be an NBA player. So that's some good familiarity that one of my friends has with Lauri Markkanen. Great basketball player, better person, and he was in between the lines with the guy. So, you know, that's good to hear. And hopefully the Warriors can make that happen. I mean, when you hear about a trade too much before it happens, though, it almost never does, which stinks. That's why I've been the guy saying it's going to be somebody we did not see coming. It's just going to be, I don't know, it's going to be someone we have not been talking about if they make a move.
Well, and so far that's been the first two moves, the DeAnthony Melton and the Kyle Anderson. I don't think that was on anybody's radar.
Chris Paul on anyone's radar?
No, not. Well, Matt Steinmetz thought that it might be a good fit.
He did get that one right.
Steiny called it, huh?
Steiny kind of said that, and, you know, we actually talked about it, and I was all for it, you know, bringing Chris Paul in before it happened, and then it turned out to be a good fit and would have been a better fit, I think, if they would have been able to get something for him on the way out the door. But none of us thought DeAnthony Melton or Kyle Anderson. So to your point, it usually is somebody that you don't see coming that actually eventually becomes the trade. But feels to me now, as we sit here on July 2nd, like it's got to be a big piece to come in. If it's another, you know, mid-level kind of a player, then, I mean, what are we even doing here?
707 on the Xfinity mobile text line. This Lauri Markkanen is not a huge asset because it is a one-year rental for us. Why would we give up Kuminga or Brandon Pajemski? 707, I love you. Shout out to the 707. My hometown, my home area up there. But I will say, while Lauri Markkanen is only on a one-year deal right now, $18 million, if the Warriors were to trade for him, it would be with the agreement that they're going to sign him to a max extension. So you would have Markkanen under control for years to come. It gives you some flexibility right now because it would be $18 million on your books for this coming season. And then the number would jump up the following year. But as you've laid out, Dibs, and I think, Jason, you agree. I know I agree. It seems like this is almost a financial reset year for the Warriors, even if they are to go out and take a big swing on Markkanen. It's why Markkanen makes so much more sense than Levine, because you can fit Markkanen very easily into your salary right now and stay out of the luxury tax. You can do that by just trading away Wiggins. Wiggins is more than enough money to get you cover for the Lauri Markkanen contract. You stay out of the tax for this 1 year, and then, you know, you deal with it next year, but you get out of the repeater penalties. Joe Lacob, while he's, you know, clearly wanting to save some money now, it seems he has shown time and time and time again he's willing to pay a very big luxury tax bill. But just to answer the 707's question there, it would not be a one-year rental for Markkanen. If you were to trade for him and give up potentially Kuminga and multiple first-round picks, you're keeping him around. You're signing him to a max extension.
You are, and it's probably going to be $50 million or more a year. And so if you think about, if you don't acquire Lauri Markkanen, what it's going to be next year, well, Kuminga is probably going to jump up to $35 million, and you're going to have Wiggins at $28 million. So those two alone will be $63 million next year. So if you take one of them out and you bring Markkanen in at $50 million, it's going to probably be more than $50 million, but just for the round numbers of the math, you're going to be almost in the same spot as if you you know, didn't bring in Markkanen and you decided to keep Kuminga and you pay him and you give him the offseason extension that Jordan Poole got, which came in October, then next year you're going to have Steph at 59, Draymond at 26, you're going to have Wiggins at 28 and Kuminga at 35. So you're going to be in that same spot anyway, not to mention with, you know, Anderson and, well, Melton's 1 year, he probably won't be here, but you get the point about where he'll be financially anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a move you have to make, in my opinion. You have to make. Ideal world, you keep Kuminga around. There's something to be said about the homegrown talent. I just, me personally, I think that probably more than others, that's important. Keep the guys who you developed, you drafted. It just speaks well to who you are as an organization, your scouting department, and, you know, you're hiring managers, for lack of a better word. I don't know, that's not really a thing in basketball, but that means something. But if you have to give, you have to give to get, you know? So if you have to give up a Jonathan Kuminga, if you truly believe in Lauri Markkanen, it's not even really for us to say, it's for Mike Dunleavy to say, then you do it. But you just have, you can't punt seasons when Steph Curry is 36 years old. That is just my point. You can't punt seasons when Steph Curry is 36 years old. Can't do it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And it's part of why I feel like, and we can get into this here, and if you're just joining us, some news for the Golden State Warriors today. Kyle Anderson is your newest Golden State Warrior. 3 years, $27 million. Add that with D'Anthony Melton from yesterday. Out is Chris Paul and Klay Thompson. In, Melton and Anderson. That's essentially the offseason to this point for the Golden State Warriors. But your point, Jason, you can't be punting on seasons when you got Steph Curry entering the final couple of years of his career, at least the final couple of years of him still being a really good basketball player. And maybe this is entirely unfair, and you guys can tell me if it's out of bounds. I want more from Stephen Curry, not necessarily on the court. I want Steph Curry. I think you're a great resource for us here, Jason, because maybe you see more behind the scenes than we do. I want Stephen Curry at this stage. If the Warriors are wavering between trading Kuminga and three first-round picks, or they're on the fence about it. They don't know what to do. I want Steph Curry to exert his influence and demand it. Go get me somebody. And maybe that happens behind closed doors, Jason. And I'm not saying I want Steph to be LeBron James and be the player and the GM and trade everybody away after they struggle for 2 weeks. I'm not saying that. But I want my franchise pillar and the best player that this franchise has ever seen, I want him to kind of outwardly force the hand of the organization and do something that he feels like gives him a really good chance to win again. I want to see that fire and that passion.
Well, Steph is definitely more privy to what goes on behind the scenes than he lets on.
But it's not just about knowing what's going on, but being an active force behind it, driving it.
No. I think he does more of that than is perceived. That's what I mean. I think he does. He's never going to be like LeBron James. LeBron James is uber aggressive in that sense. Steph, that's not his personality. He's not going to be putting it out there in the public either. He is aware of what goes on. He gives his opinions, and that's just who he is. You know, I mean, do you want him to like be more aggressive in that? That'd be asking him to do something, be someone who he's not. You know, and look, Steph does so much for this organization. I'm not in the business of telling him to do more. You know what I mean? Just me personally. He is a perfect representation of the organization. He plays basketball at an extremely high level, obviously. And he's the ultimate family man. Look, his job is not to be Mike Dunleavy. His job is not to be Joe Lacob. He will offer his opinions. He will say what he wants, what he doesn't want. He's not always right. The vets wanted Avery Bradley over Gary Payton II.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you got to, like, as a GM, I don't even know if I want my player exerting that much power.
You probably don't.
Because sometimes it, like, we've seen how it's played out in L.A. Like, every time they hire a coach, it's like, okay, who cares? Their coach is LeBron James. Like, that's not a healthy work environment. It's not. So I think Steph does it the perfect way. He says what he prefers. and they'll listen sometimes and they won't listen another time. Let's be happy they ain't listen with Avery Bradley.
Good point.
You know what I mean?
And I think that the organization knows how he feels about Jonathan Kuminga and how he feels about Lauri Markkanen. I would imagine that those opinions have been voiced. And so now it's not really up to him to sit there in the war room and consult with Mike Dunleavy Jr. on every possible trade. They know how Steph feels about the young core and what direction Steph and even Draymond by proxy, what they want to do with the roster and with the organization. And I look at last year's move to bring in Chris Paul. That doesn't happen without Steph and Draymond and probably Clay as well weighing in on how they feel about Chris Paul and how they feel about the idea of bringing him in for 1 year to have that veteran presence. And so I think the same thing would exist now where Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob in the front office, they know what Steph thinks about Kuminga and Moody and the young players and also Lauri Markkanen and Brandon Ingram and Paul George and all the rest of it. And so you're trying to do what you can do. There's a price point for all of this. You're not going to give up Kuminga, Moody, Pods, and 4 first round picks. You're not just going to gut your team for Lauri Markkanen to bring him in and give him the max. There's a certain balancing act. There's a price that you will pay that you'd like to pay. And that's where this dance becomes so intricate.
Yeah, the 408 on the Xfinity mobile text line, Clay asked Curry not to talk. Yeah, you're 100% right. That's what Anthony Slater wrote earlier today on The Athletic. It's a great piece. I recommend you read it if you haven't just yet. I'm not talking about the Clay situation. I'm talking about going out and swinging big for Lauri Markkanen or someone of that ilk. I want my star to put a little bit of pressure on the organization, and maybe he is behind closed doors. And if he is, that's great. I'm not saying he's not. I just want him to be doing that. If he's not, I want him to. And I go back to something that Mike Dunleavy said last week about the offseason ahead. And this was before the NBA draft. And we know that that pre-draft presser oftentimes turns into a pre-free agency presser, not a pre-draft presser, especially for the Warriors who did not have a first round pick. But this was Mike Dunleavy when talking about the future of his organization.
I think we have to be realistic, and I don't want to like press and overdo something. Some patience needs to take place while at the same time recognizing sort of this time horizon we have with Steph and Draymond and, you know, hopefully Clay. As those guys kind of get a little bit older, we have to be mindful of, at a point maybe they're not at a level to compete for a championship. I don't think that's like too near, but at some point it probably will be.
Mike Dunleavy preaching patience. You got to be patient. If I'm Steph Curry, I got no time to be patient anymore.
Well, you can be patient on July 2nd. I mean, you don't have a game until, what, late October? We don't even know what the schedule is yet. So you can be patient now, and you can hope that the deals behind the scenes are being done. And the fact that they've already made a couple of moves, they brought in D'Anthony Melton, they brought in Kyle Anderson, a couple of veterans, rotational pieces at the very least. If you're Steph, you're probably looking at that and thinking, okay, we have a couple of at least veterans now who can join the mix. We lost Clay. We lost CP3. Offensively, we're not as good. Defensively, we're probably better. So now what, Mike? And you can be patient right now on July 2nd and still hope for the big move.
Shoot, we actually have Warriors basketball starting on like Saturday.
The California Classic.
Good point.
Here in the city.
Pajemski, he's playing in it. Guy Santos, Trace, Jackson Davis, the rookie. How come I can't remember the rookie's name?
Quentin Post. Yeah.
Quentin Post, who I'm excited to watch.
Reese Beekman, the undrafted free agent out of Virginia.
Oh, yeah, he's playing. And then there's a lot of G Leaguers who played on Santa Cruz Warriors who I covered this past year doing the sidelines for Santa Cruz who will be there. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out, too. But in the meantime, we know Mike Dunleavy is big game hunting. He whiffed on Paul George. I don't think it was for effort, per se. I just think sometimes it's hard. Now he's trying for another one, so let him cook. I think the guy has the makings of being a good general manager. I really do, and I wouldn't say it if I didn't think so. I'm not going to sit here in front like if I thought he would be a bad one, I'd come out and say it. I'd like to protect the check, but at the same time, I wouldn't lie and say I think he's going to be a good one if I didn't believe it. I really think he has the goods. I do. You just got, he didn't take in a great situation.
He's in a really, he's going to make a lot of really tough calls.
It's not like he inherited like an
easy job. No matter what he does, there's going to be people upset at him. No matter what.
The day he became GM, you looked at their pathway to getting back to a championship, and there was not a clear path. So we can't sit and act like he inherited an easy job. But at the same time, he's getting paid a high salary, better than everybody who's sitting, driving to work, listening to their show. So they don't have to give him this huge runway for grace. So I get there's a happy medium. I'm just saying, give him a chance. Now, if this offseason ends up being a disaster and everybody flips on him, so be it. They had that prerogative. But give him just a little bit of a runway.
Yeah. Let's go out to the phone lines. 888-957-9570. As a reminder, all guests here on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Up next on the phone lines is Daryl in San Jose. Daryl, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs. Dumas and Grandy in for Willard alongside Dibs. How you doing, Daryl?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing all right. What do you think of the moves the Warriors have made?
Well, what I think is probably the right path. I mean, we saw last year how the Warriors were losing these games after they gained quite a bit of a point advantage. Third quarter, they're up 20, then all of a sudden they lose. And this happened quite a bit. So that defense being rebuilt, just like those championship years, those big wings, I think we're on the right path for that. Now, I'm not a GM, but I can tell you the defense, once Draymond said, if these guys don't want to play defense, I can't make them. I can't make them play defense. They got to want to play defense. And I think that's what gets them back to that level. Okay, so I think these first moves are good, but I also think we got to push. If you're not going to trade But if you're not going to trade for defensive-minded players, then you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. Because if you do get marketing with Curry, that's going to bring people to see that show. They want to see that. They want to see that happen. But Wiggins, if you can get him back to his level, you know, that would be really good to see, more so than Kuminga. Because I know Kuminga, he's a slasher. But Wiggins, if he was back to that level, okay, then bingo. You see what I'm saying? Now, are we going to give up him for marketing? We just might have to. If you want butts into that, you know, center, the Chase Center, to watch the marketing and Curry show, that can happen. That's what people want to see.
Yeah, but you're right, Darryl. I mean, I agree with you there. I will say it is a dangerous game that you play. And Dibs, I know you agree with this. It's a dangerous game to play to just hope that you can get the most out of Andrew Wiggins, because that's what people have been hoping for basically his entire career. And you've gotten that for what? One season?
2 months, actually. And I know he was an all-star, but he was an all-star because he got a ton of votes from an influencer overseas. And, you know, the whole all-star process is so flawed. It's not to say he didn't have a good year. He did. But it was really April, May, and June of the championship year where Andrew Wiggins cemented himself and
got him the new contract.
Got him a new contract and got him a championship as well. And he was their second best player and he was unbelievable. But since then, he's been in and out. He's been on again and off again. He's been back to the old K-Wig that we joked about during the pandemic when he would be 4 of 11 or 5 of 12 or 6 of 13. You could go ahead and bank it night in and night out. So to think that Jonathan Kuminga, or do you think that Andrew Wiggins is going to be anything other than the player that he's been the last 2 years, I think is the definition of insanity.
Yeah, he's just been unreliable.
Right.
That's all you can stem it down to. And when you look at the totality of his career, it's kind of been the story. I think the championship season was kind of the exception to the rule. I mean, it's one of those things where it's not even really an opinion, just the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
In terms of defense, I mean, Kyle Anderson and De'Anthony Melton, they both play defense. So those are upgrades, actually.
Defensively, no doubt.
From Clay and CP3.
Absolutely, no doubt.
Those are two upgrades. I think those swaps is a wash, honestly.
The offense is a question,
yes,
for sure. The defense, you're a better defensive team now than you were at the end of last season. In my mind, there's absolutely no doubt about it. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. When we come back, we'll get to more of your calls. See you guys on hold. Dave and Mario and Leo and Eric, we're coming to you on the other side. The Warriors have added to their roster. Kyle Anderson is the newest Warrior, but is there more coming for the Golden State Warriors in free agency? On the trade market, we can get into that on the other side. We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Dumas, Grandy, and Dibs coming up next at 95.7 The Game.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.